Okay, guys, welcome to the next hour of this invasion angle commentary track slash review show. We've covered so far the origins into invasion, and now we're going to cover from like after invasion, going into the decline of the angle and eventually into Survivor Series. So if you guys have listened already, you kind of heard what happened, what invasion was like, and even looking at these cards now going on from invasion, like, we're going to talk about SummerSlam now and kind of how different it was. You know, I said before we started taping, Gary, that it's already SummerSlam is
a WWE show with Lance Storm
and Canyon.
And Canyon.
You know, that's basically it, because if you're looking at it, you know, you have Kurt Angle and Austin going for the WWF Championship.
And that's a WWF match. And,
but Austin's supposed to be WCW.
Yeah.
The Rock and Booker T, you know, and the Rock wins.
Yeah, and the thing was, like, they tried to make Booker T a kind of Rock parody, didn't they? Like,
yeah,
they gave
with
him
the
bookend. And
he actually did better than The Rock, though, to be fair.
He got good height on it,
I
yeah.
I remember they put him through the announce table. Yeah. Like, that's pretty cool.
But, like, it was kind of, you definitely knew who the stars were.
Yeah, like, you know? And I've actually watched all the pay-per-views over last night, because, you know, to break the fourth wall, we recorded the first half of this on my birthday, and now we're recording 2 days later. So I watched, you know, SummerSlam, Unforgiven, and No Mercy last night.
Yeah.
And he played it off like Austin winning is, you know, having the belt's a huge thing, and Kurt Angle winning is a big shot against the Alliance, when it's like, no, both of these, the Alliance is basically already defeated. Like, it's played off as such a low thing. You know, we've already started to get the unification matches in earnest with X-Pac and Tajiri.
That was the Cruiserweight,
yeah,
heavyweight.
Yeah. The last time we'll ever see the light heavyweight title again.
Yeah, which is, I don't know, I think that's a bit of a shame.
Well, S.A. Rios was finished, basically, you know, and you can see when we started off, we had 140, basically, characters or gimmicks or wrestlers to play around with.
Yeah.
And we're down to a WWE card.
Yeah, yeah, it was a bare bones, and like, on those previous shows, I think we highlighted guys who could have made a really compelling light heavyweight division, you know.
And he went a completely different way.
And they went a totally different way. And then look what happened with that title a couple of years later. It was won by Hornswoggle, and then it was discontinued.
Exactly. You know, if you look at it this way, they could have had something that would become the X division, you know. And this is what people don't understand. You know, going back, okay, how did TNA become a thing? Why did it gain so much traction? Why did people, why were they so hungry in 2002? Because, well, look what we had here. We had all these guys who were in WCW, and WWF didn't want them.
Yeah,
so they had nowhere to go.
And the ones they did keep were, by and large, over the course of time, buried.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Buried or, you know, not only buried, because buried, you can recover from that.
Yeah.
You can't recover from, you know, career torpedoes.
Yeah, like the likes of DDP.
DDP.
With the Stalker.
Canyon.
Thing. Canyon, yeah.
You know, another even guy. Or RVD, I'd say, to an extent. He was over, but he wasn't given anything for another 5 years, and then he buried himself.
Yeah, true. I suppose RVD has to shoulder the blame in that one, because they literally gave him everything.
But
went up in a puff of smoke.
Yeah,
with Sabu. My other question was, with you watching those, was it No Mercy that Kurt Angle won the title?
Yes.
And that was because of the fallout from 9/11, really.
Yeah, that's another thing as well that we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
9/11 happened, obviously, during this angle.
Yeah.
And it's something that is really, really weird. Like, it is super weird when you're watching it, because, you know, it obviously Unforgiven happens in September, and it's from Pittsburgh. And true story, I was in America before 9/11, like a month before 9/11.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a different world. Like, you start seeing how things changed a little bit.
Yeah.
My uncle was living in Pennsylvania at the time as well.
Right.
So it was really kind of bizarre, the whole thing. But No Mercy obviously is affected by 9/11, but Unforgiven is the show where you're just like, wow, this is something big's happened, because they start to show off with the American national anthem.
Yeah,
there's a lot of American flags in the crowd. Undertaker starts wearing it on his on his singlet.
Yeah,
so it's there and it's relevant, but it's also, I don't know, it didn't have an overarching effect. Like, there was no sense of the other as far as a nationality or someone that you could chant USA, USA, USA at, you know, it's like you would a couple of years later with Muhammad Hassan.
Yeah, yeah.
For the WWE. It wasn't something like, they weren't that distasteful. You know, we've talked about WWE and distasteful in the past, and this past Raw, they did it again. You know?
Yeah, yeah. We'll be talking about that on the live show. Yeah.
But as far as how did it affect the angle? Well, Kurt Angle ended up winning
the strap. Now, I was in doing research for this block of tapings. I was looking up, and he wasn't due to win the title. They thought that, you know, because out of the roster there, who was someone who the Americans could champion. I mean, and he fit the bill. He was an Olympic gold medalist, represented the country.
Well, I think happened. He didn't actually win the title at No Mercy. He did eventually turn on the thing. And
so what one did he win the title at? He definitely won the title. Was it Unforgiven then?
It was Unforgiven.
Okay.
It was Unforgiven. And actually, that would make sense. Sorry, that's why he won it. That makes more sense.
At the September one, yeah.
And what happened, we got confused there, because this is another thing that happened. Literally, he was part of Team WWE.
Yep.
He won the title. He turned on Team WWE, joined the Alliance, and then at Survivor Series, he would turn again. So I'm sorry, guys, we're doing this show, we've watched it, and we're still confused about what happened.
And that gets back to what you were saying about the cards.
They're so similar.
The cards are very, very similar. Like, we were going through them, and there's a cage match, a ladder match,
and a good hardcore match.
And a good hardcore match pretty much across these, like, four pay-per-views.
They change. Like, every second pay-per-view has a ladder match.
Or a cage match.
Yeah. And then there's something involved in the Divas. Like, in the space of four pay-per-views, there's two lingerie matches.
Yeah.
It's like, no wonder this angle was so bad. There was nothing standout. There were good matches scattered in between. Like, I had to watch them because I'd made a point when we were taping on Monday, basically saying, you know, there were some good matches in this. And I said, I had to go prove that was the case.
Yeah.
Some great matches with Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho won a title. He had a title match.
Yeah.
You know, RVD had a title match.
Yeah, world title match. Yeah. The Hardy stuff was great. Edge and Christian.
But that's what it's all right. No Mercy. Chris Jericho won the WCW belt, right?
Yeah.
And at Unforgiven, a month before, he was wrestling RVD and lost for the hardcore title.
Yeah,
that's how changeable it was.
Yeah, it really, really was. Like, there was none of these kind of, you know, the slow builds.
There was no slow build,
as it were. You know, going. I don't know. Like, it's definitely a hard one to look back at and try and think, what were they actually thinking at this time? You know, like, there was some times where you kind of thought, oh, they must have just found out that guy was probably in WCW, so they'll switch him.
Mm.
And it was so interchangeable. As you say, one week you're losing a hardcore match, and the next week you're a world WCW champion.
Like, you're not only going for, like, the lame WWE world title, you're going for, like, the big...
Well, yeah, like, WCW title. It still had some luster back then, you know?
And I don't understand what they were trying to do, you know? Why book Jericho for the hardcore title 1 week and then book him for the world title? Like, what was the build up for this? I even think, you know, watching the Raws would have made less sense. Because remember,
big time.
Because they weren't doing matches, they were doing angles. And
it was all angles.
And
who's going to screw who. And, like, it's just, there was certain things that happened.
Also, I forgot to mention, I really should have said, the Kurt Angle win is when his whole family's there and they're all in the crowd.
That makes sense, because that's where he's from.
Yeah. Sorry, go on, Gary.
Um, Yeah, like there was certain things that you could kind of forgive, I suppose. You know,
I can forgive the 9/11 stuff.
And, oh yeah, and no, I'm not saying you know.
That's something that had to happen. You couldn't have him being a heel.
Well, like the thing was that 9/11 happened, and in fairness to WWF, like we're very quick to lambast them when they do something wrong. But that was one thing I think they genuinely like. That SmackDown.
Yeah, that SmackDown was very tasteful.
After it was very, very tasteful. It was the first kind of major gathering of people after 9/11, and it was executed perfectly. I mean, Angle winning the title made sense. You know, it was a byproduct of what had happened, in the real world. Mm. You know, not in the
kayfabe wrestling world.
Carny wrestling world.
Yeah.
Like I'm not talking about that as you know, as, like. That was cool that happened. But there was certain other things that, you know, like the Austin heel turn at Invasion.
That was silly.
It was silly, but at the same time, you know, could you, like, it was just, the whole thing is, and if you're just taking the Austin heel turn, it was poorly executed. And a lot of the stuff across the Invasion angle was poorly executed. The idea was there and the idea was good, but they never fleshed it out. Like with Austin, why didn't they flesh it out that, yeah, sure, he was in WCW and he got shit canned, you know, over the phone, but Bischoff wasn't there, so let's use that, let's play that as a strength. Who's the owner? Shano's the owner. Austin never really had much of a problem with Shano.
He was feuding with Vince.
So why wouldn't he screw Vince?
But the thing about that is, well, Shane was involved in that angle as well. He did kind of cost him, you know, the belt a couple of times.
But you can use more revisionist history in that.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, if you said, who had the biggest feud, Austin and Vince or Austin and Shane? Yeah. It was Austin and Vince.
That's true.
So, but they didn't think that true. It was like, oh, we're going to turn Austin because Austin's the biggest face we have. And that'll gain traction for WCW.
No.
And sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes it does work. Hogan with NWO, it worked.
But the thing about that is, Hogan was there for a couple of years. He was a WCW guy, and it was shocking to see him side with the Outsiders. You know, it was, and it was also there was a reason for it. He was getting good at the time. But
likewise, they played that up, that the Outsiders were WWF guys. That's how they were brought in.
Yeah.
And who is the quintessential WWF guy?
Hogan.
Like, that made sense. Whereas that was one time where WCW actually thought something out pretty well and thought it true. But whereas with Austin's turn,
it made no sense.
It made no sense. And then the fact that he'd already turned at Mania with the power trip, it was just too much too soon.
But let's put it this way, right? Over the course of the year, Austin turned twice.
Angle turned four times.
Okay, so he was heel at the beginning of the year. He went back, he turned face with Austin when they attacked Buff Bagwell and Booker T.
Yeah.
So he was face for a while, then he went heel again, then he went face, then he was heel again by the end of the year. How many times is that? Five?
Four or five.
Stop turning people heel.
Yeah.
Like, ironically enough, and we're the people that go,
we're the people who usually say, oh man, our heel turn would really benefit.
Yeah, but there is a difference, though.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, once again, it's all in the execution. And
No, execution and psychology behind it.
Yeah.
Why are you upset? Well, I'm upset because of this. Not just because...
Why is Austin upset? Oh, because Vince... Yeah, you know, he'd feuded with Vince for many, many years, and now Vince is looking for a favor. So why should he give him?
Yeah, exactly.
Why should he help him? I'm going to side with Shane. Yeah, sure, Shane was involved and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but he was just doing what his dad said.
What his dad said. Yeah.
And, you know, like, just flesh it out a little bit more.
Like Austin's heel turn at WrestleMania, while it was stupid and not needed, it made more sense. It's like, okay, he needed him to win the belt. He wanted that belt back.
Yeah,
So okay, fair enough. That makes sense. Not just doing it on a whim.
Yeah.
And even though Austin's, you know, he was the leader of the Alliance, he was given a leadership role, fair enough, but he already had that for the WWF.
Yeah, and the thing was that the Alliance was very top-heavy with people who could be perceived as a leader.
Yeah.
Like, you had Shano, you had Steph, you had Heyman. I mean, they could have given that role to one of the WCW guys like Booker T, but they didn't. Whereas the Alliance was really, or sorry, the WWF was Vince and Austin, and you knew
who was on
that. That's your leadership team.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Poor execution, and but as you say, there was some good matches involved.
They were in there. They were few and far between, but there was some good stuff.
Yeah, like I like the Hardy stuff with the Dudleys. Particularly, like, we were fast forwarding through Survivor Series to set up our commentary tracks for later on, and I remember that cage match, the Dudleys and the Hardys, and there was the ridiculous spot of Jeff diving off the top and going through
to a table.
Yeah, ridiculous spot, but you know, sometimes that's the stuff that you remember, you know.
Well, as I said, the knock-on effect of that is you have the cage matches kind of melding in together.
Yeah,
that cage match, like, we were trying to figure out, when did Undertaker and Kane be chronic?
Yeah. That was the big one.
That
and
was the
only reason why, like, people did these guys actually want to go and watch this match?
It was that unforgiving.
It was that unforgiving. No, we didn't want to go watch this match, but we were trying to think, what was the worst cross, you know, promotion match? And I think, like, that year in every single wrestling magazine and website and whatever,
I'm tempted to watch it again. I watched it last night, and it was bad. Like, it is very, very bad. But Steven Richards is there, and it looks really weird seeing Steven Richards there. You're like, okay,
yeah,
because you just off the right sense, I think.
Yeah, and that was the match that we kind of thought, yeah, that's the worst cross promotion match. Taker and Kane against Chronic. Was that a unified one as well?
No, the unification one happens at Survivor Series.
Okay,
but you know, I would have said that was at SummerSlam.
Yeah, it was all over the shop,
because like they had the belts. That was for the WCW tag team titles.
Yeah,
and the actual cage match was for the WCW tag team championships and the WWF tag team championships. So at some point, Chronic beat Undertaker and Kane.
Yeah, I think that was on a SmackDown.
And then they had the return match. This is how confusing this angle was. Stuff was happening, nobody was keeping track of it, and they had to fix it. So they do something on pay-per-view, undo it throughout the TV tapings, and then fix it at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but like the thing was like, I think Gregory Helms came in, and he was the Cruiserweight champion.
Yes.
And then
he became the Hurricane over the course of
this. Became the Hurricane, but he dropped it to X-Pac or to Jerry or one of, and that was the unification match. Like why not keep it with Helms?
So he could have
the WCW guy and give him the rub. Like, well, no, X-Pac didn't need it. Tajiri didn't need it.
He was the X-Factor.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, it was, once again, getting back to poorly executed, where you could have put these guys in a really, really strong position. And actually, I was listening to the interview you did with Brian Zane. And he was saying, you know, by and large, wins, losses leveled out.
Over the course of the show.
Yeah. And then he said on pay-per-views, more often than not, WWE might gain the upper hand. And it gets back to what I was saying on the first show. Like, I would make the case that, particularly at Invasion, put your best foot forward and they win maybe all the matches.
They should have.
But certainly, certainly 90%, 80 to 90% of those matches, the Invasion or the Alliance should have won.
But even if you look at the card literally one show later, they've removed so much. And yes, the Invasion is winning a couple of matches.
Or the Alliance.
Sorry. The Alliance. The Alliance is winning the Invasion, shall we say.
Yeah.
But it's not WCW or ECW.
Yeah.
It's a handful of guys.
But likewise, it's not the top tier,
you know? Yeah. Even still, going through, like, okay.
Like, I don't believe Austin winning for the Alliance is a plus point for WCW.
No, it's not. Like, Edge defeating Lance Storm, right. I don't even know.
That was actually a really good match.
It was a good match. But Lance Storm, this killed Lance Storm's career, this whole angle.
If I can be serious for a minute.
He was doing that in WCW.
Yeah.
You know, but it just didn't get over, you know? I think Rhino and Jericho had a really good match at SummerSlam, and we are switching gears to talk about SummerSlam now.
Yeah, I really like that match.
I think that whole feud was very good.
I'm going to move my position so I can see.
Jericho Rhino, great match, of course. RVD and Jeff Hardy is probably their best match out of the series.
Yeah, yeah, and we were saying that when we were doing the commentary track for the Invasion one. The Invasion one was a little bit sloppy.
Yeah, they were definitely still calling stuff in the ring.
Yeah,
but this, yeah. I watched this match last night, and it's a lot more fluid.
Yeah, and I suppose, but that's what you get when you're
working a month of house shows.
Working a month of house shows and getting there. Yeah, X-Pac and Tajiri, that was for the double titles. Dudley's defeated the APA. Test was with the Dudleys and Spike was with the APA.
Yeah.
Like, what? How was that help? How was Test part of WCW?
That just happened.
Yeah, like
happened. Like, they never said it. Okay, from my best memory, it happened on a Raw, I think, where he just turned on them and then wanted to join them. But this happened, as we're going to talk about a little bit later on. Test is the wild card in WCW and ECW. Yeah. You know, and then later on in infamous pay-per-view, he'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They should have watched him, and then he'd turn up on TNA as Andrew the Punisher Martin.
Ridiculous. Yes, and then the aforementioned
Andrew the Punisher Martin.
Brothers of Destruction defeating Page and Canyon.
Hold on. Why did they think that was a good idea?
What?
Andrew the Punisher Martin.
I don't know. So he could copyright his name, probably.
But the Punisher's already a copyrighted thing.
Yeah, but not Andrew the Punisher, man. Oh, I don't know.
Poor Test. He never recovered from Stephanie leaving him.
No, he really didn't. I actually quite like this.
He has some of the best music ever.
Oh, he did.
And then they ruined
it. But like, I thought when you came back to WWF, he was fierce jacked up. Like, he was.
Oh, yeah. He was steroided something fierce.
He really, really was. And, you know, shame that he passed away, but, I mean, if you're. That's what steroids do.
You know, it's like. No, it's a shame that. And we're not making light of it, but it's he was, like, properly roided.
He was. Like, when you compare him.
Compare him because he was a big guy.
He was a big guy anyway.
Yeah, he didn't need it. Like, if you had said to me, Darren, who needs steroids on this? And not that anyone needs steroids, but he needs to be bigger.
Yeah.
But Test did not need to be big.
No, but like, you're looking at your Scotty Two Hotties.
Yeah, well, that's because he's on the screen. Yeah.
No, well, you know, if someone did need it.
Yeah, you know, it's like, that would make sense.
Yeah, no.
Spike Dudley.
Hang on, you threw me off. Where were we? Brothers of Destruction. Yeah, winning the tag team titles off DDP.
There was a reason they threw you off there. That match was absolute cack.
Yeah, not as bad as the Chronic one though.
No, but it gets there. It's nearly there. Like, that is a burial.
Yeah. So Angle defeats Stone Cold, but by disqualification, and The Rock defeating Booker T for the WCW Championship. Like,
also a burial.
Yeah.
Clean match,
and just, I mean, pointless. Like, there's so many points over the course of, like, taking it from WrestleMania across into Invasion, and now here we are at SummerSlam. Like, there's so many points where you could say, this is where people stop watching.
But see, look, you know, Brian was saying that the wins were skewed in the favor of the WWF. I would suggest that not only were the wins in favor, but the kind of wins were so decisive.
Like, oh, yeah.
The Alliance won matches, but there was always something that caused them to win. Like, okay, they won, like, you know, DQ, or was it with the exception of RVD. He is the exception that proves the rule. But, you know, when Rhino would win, Stephanie would do something.
Yeah, and even if you just take the inaugural brawl, the only way the Alliance won was because Stone Cold turned.
Exactly. Any big win they had was a screw in. Or any win they had, there was something that was just like, okay, well, the ref wasn't looking.
Yeah.
You know, but when WWE won, particularly with The Rock over Booker T,
Super clean.
You know, we're talking people's elbow and everything. He had time to, you know,
gyrate to the crowd.
He was only short of, like, teabagging them.
Yeah. And, like, the whole thing was that, yes, WCW is made out to be the heel, and you can understand that, and heel tactics should be used, but make sure that they have the win majority, you know, don't have it so close and that it's leveling out, you know, by and large. So I really like the Jericho Rhino match from
I thought, even though as we said, there was a lot of chicanery as far as angles and stuff goes building up to that, when it was in the ring, you know, Rhino looked like a beast.
Oh, we mentioned that and when we were doing the commentary track for the inaugural brawl, he's an absolute tank. And
the thing about that is, you know, we said, oh, there was no slow builds in this. That was actually built for months. That was carried over for a very long time, and then they just decided to drop it.
But then Jericho's losing a hardcore title match, and then the next one he's a world champion.
I think they started off with the best of intentions. From July to August, yeah, okay, fair enough. And I would say, you know, by the time we got to Unforgiven, which we will switch gears and talk about now,
yeah,
so much had already happened that, you know, your dark match was Billy Gunn beating Tommy Dreamer. I think Tommy Dreamer really should have been part of this on the main card.
Yeah, well, he was an ECW guy.
He was ECW.
Yeah.
Where was Sabu?
Where was Sandman? Where was?
You know, Raven was here, but like he was having a.
But
a,
he was.
A, he was. He had a, the most random match in history with Perry Saturn, with Terry.
Yeah.
Why? Why was that happening?
Was that not because of the whole Moppy thing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But why? The build up to that was Perry Saturn was with Terry Reynolds.
Yeah.
Then he fell in love with Moppy, but for some reason Raven had Terry Reynolds in his corner.
Because
why
didn't Raven help Terry put him in the chipper?
Yeah, but how did that further the invasion angle?
I don't know.
Fair enough. That's a good feud.
No, it isn't.
No, you know what I mean? Like it's okay. It's a feud for a different time without.
It's almost as ridiculous as when Edge and Booker T were feuding over the Japanese hair commercial. The Japanese shampoo. It was ridiculous.
And they wonder why people were leaving in droves. I guess for this, at the beginning of 2001, it was their biggest period, and they were still drawing the 10.0, probably the 8.0,
yeah.
Not 10.0, but 8.0 ratings. You got to think every couple of weeks, they're like, well, there's a million gone.
Yeah, but just to say, and everybody knows my love of absolutely terrible gimmicks. I loved the Moppy gimmick. Loved it.
Remember when you could play it on like one of the games and you could have Moppy.
Yeah.
Or you had the backstage segments with Moppy.
Brilliant.
Love it.
Hell.
What were they thinking? Like, who okayed that? You know.
Well, no, it was done because Perry roughed up a few guys in the ring.
Really?
That's the rumor, that he was a little bit heavy-handed
in
the ring.
It was rest his court,
was it? And it was, so they hampered him with this mop.
He got it over.
He did. I love it.
Yeah, Gary, but
you're welcome.
You would love it. You're welcome. I forgot about that.
Love it.
Yes. Oh, that's incredible.
You know, like, the thing is, because some guys watch wrestling. No, hang on. Let me try justify myself here. Some guys watch wrestling, you know, and they want, you know, your Mac classics. Now, don't get me wrong. I like my Mac classics.
Right.
You know, I do, you know, like remember Kurt Angle against Undertaker from No Way Out,
2006.
Was it later?
No, it's 2006.
Okay, well, like that.
2005,
maybe. Like, I love that match, and that's a Mac classic.
When did Eddie beat Brock? 2005.
Yeah, so it was the year after, and Benoit and Angle, you know, I love those matches, and you know, I'm all for a Mac classic, you know, but I want my undercard to have ridiculous gimmicks, because that's just the fun part of it, you know.
Balance is important.
Balance is very important.
Yeah, balance. One of the best things about the Invasion angle, which we have not mentioned, this is when Christian turns heel and gets the music. And that Unforgiven 2001 is when he came out to it. Yes!
Perfect.
Amazing. But they built that up too.
Yeah.
They planted the seeds for King of the Ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Edge was in Highlander.
Yeah.
Which is actually a really good Highlander Endgame.
Yeah.
And that's a good flick. But they built that up for months.
Because he was carrying, like, Christian was carrying around a big trophy.
And then when he beat Lance Storm for the Intercontinental title as well, he was standing in the ring and looks like he was going to hit him, but then he hugs him.
Yeah.
And then they rang their aunt.
Yeah.
That also had a lot of comedy. Like, it was great.
Edge and Christian as a comedy duo was hilarious. I loved that
stuff. But the thing about that guy, like, again, as great as that Bright Point was, Christian wasn't a WCW guy.
No.
He wasn't an ECW guy. No, he was... They were as WWF as you get.
Yeah, that was the whole thing.
And they also had a fantastic ladder match. Oh, my God. That's one of the best ladder matches of all time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Edge and Christian, yeah.
No, but so good. Like, they go absolutely crazy in that ladder match. Like, they do the spots and also the concertos used as well. And, man, it's a great match. But
anyway, I love ridiculous gimmicks.
Okay, well, let's just talk about this card again in a bit more detail. Right, so we kick off with a Fatal 4-Way elimination match for the Tag Team Championships. The Dudley Boys versus Big Show and Spike Dudley. Lance Storm and the Hurricane, and then the Hardys. So the Dudley Boys win that, and they will kind of trade the belts
with the Hardys
for the remainder of the Invasion angle.
Yeah.
Perry Saturn defeated Raven. From Moppy. Christian defeated Edge for the Intercontinental Championship, which would set up the ladder match in the next pay-per-view. The Brothers of Destruction defeated Chronic in the worst match of all time. And it's even worse than Victory Road 2009.
Jeepers, and that's the pits.
And that is the pits. RVD defeated Chris Jericho for the Hardcore title.
That was a good match. That was an okay match.
It was.
As I recall.
It was a great match. Yeah. It really is. But again, Jericho... No foresight for the next pay-per-view. Yeah. The Rock defeated Booker T in a super... And Shane McMahon.
In a handicap match.
Is it clean. Yeah. This is as clean as it gets.
As if SummerSlam wasn't clean enough. He needed to beat the two of them. Ridiculous.
Rhino... You took the words out of my mouth. Rhino defeated Tajiri with Torrey Wilson. And they were dating at the time in storyline for the US title. And then Kurt Angle defeated Stone Cold Steve Austin in a clean submission in his hometown after 23 minutes, 12 seconds for the WWF title, which would be Kurt Angle's probably defining moment of the Invasion as a face.
Yeah, particularly that shot of him with all his family in the ring.
Karen Angle there.
And
who is now with
Karen Jarrett.
They're having a pay-per-view soon.
January, isn't it?
It's been announced, yeah.
Jumping too far ahead.
We're jumping too far. I know, it's just, you know, we really need to talk about it soon. Because that's either going to fail or be a roaring success.
Yeah.
So, Karen, you know, maybe coming back. Imagine she turned heel on Jarrett and went back to Kurt Angle.
Could you imagine?
It's all a big elaborate work for years.
And the screen pans back and there's just Russo with a pen.
Oh, that'd be amazing. No, imagine like... They do the pay-per-view and then Jarrett's just about to win the title and Karen hits him with the guitar.
Yeah.
And then Kurt Angle like takes off the hat and then they show up on WWE.
It was me, Jarrett. It was me all along.
Amazing. If that happens, we're all paychecks.
That'd be terrible.
Okay, right. So the next pay-per-view is WWE No Mercy. The Acolytes...
What month are we up to? We're into October now, yeah.
October. So basically, again, another kind of build. The Alliance aren't doing very, very well.
Yeah.
They're fighting back, like they're fighting up now, as it were. So the Acolytes are kicking off the show in a dark match, and they defeat Canyon and Hugh Morris. So they would be the most WCW team. And I imagine that match was a burial, like, and also a squash because it's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's the APA.
Yeah.
Billy Kidman defeated Scotty Too Hotty for the Cruiserweight title.
Yeah.
Not a great match.
Can't remember. That was another dark match, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or Sunday Night Heat. It was Heat.
Both of them were on Heat.
Heat, yeah.
And I have all the Heats.
Yeah. Heat was good.
You know what I really liked about these Heats? They were still doing them in the arenas.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was taped during the week.
It was taped during the week. And I think, honestly, if the WWE wanted to make a show feel important and wanted to get their network, what they should do is do that again.
Yeah.
You know, tape your dark matches and put them on Heat.
Yeah.
You know, instead of that stupid kickoff crap.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody cares Sunday Night about the kickoff stuff.
Okay, Gareth, they said to you, we're going to have Sunday Night Heat where, you know, you're going to have John Cena come out and hype up his match against, you know, anyone else, you know, and he would have his interview segment or something like that. But then there would be a really good title match, like your Divas match or, you know, your tag match or something like
yeah.
that. That would be really cool. Like, imagine the Wyatts versus the Usos on a...
Before the main card.
That'd
yeah.
be your main... And maybe have one match kicking things off. Like in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would have said. You know, use your Heat as, like... The NXT Championship would be defended on Heat or something.
Yeah, that would be a really good way, because then you'd also be getting that live crowd used to
and them. You're getting... And, you know, you're getting those guys' exposure. And, like, of course, the whole thing is that... The guy who ends up with the belt is inevitably one of the guys who's going to be called up. Like it happened with Rollins, it happened with Bo, it happened with Big E. Mm. So the likelihood is that it's going to happen with Neville, you know. So why not have Neville once a month doing these house show or doing a pre-show Heat style match where he goes 15-20 minutes with Sami Zayn or Tyler Breeze or Tyson Kidd or even someone on the roster who isn't doing, you know, anything.
Like you could have an expedition match. Like you could have anyone from the roster come in, but the only better is if you have anybody come in, there's a danger that they could put them over him. But again, if it is your champion, book him to win.
Yeah.
So have him going against your Adam Rose, you know, even Big E. You know, getting wins with guys who aren't doing anything.
Like why not put Adrian Neville against Kofi Kingston for 20 minutes on
You wouldn't get 20 minutes, you get 15 minutes, 10 minutes maybe.
No, but like, I mean, but I'm saying if you're having an hour show, at least use it, you know? That Kofi and Adrian Neville would be able to tear the place down.
They would, but they'd never get it.
No, but I mean,
but no,
we're fantasy booking again here.
No, fantasy booking Heat is fun. And honestly, I think if WWE are listening and want, you know, a way to make people watch their network shows, do this again. Like, have that match in the arena when it's half full. Because he always looked interesting. Because it's like you're watching something that you're not supposed to be watching.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's always that sense of
through the looking glass.
Yeah, like look how cool that is. People are coming in now. You know, it's
and,
awesome.
And but like they'd harken back to stuff that happened on Heat on the main show. Like,
yeah.
Like, I remember I was watching. I can't remember what pay per view it was, but like someone got attacked beforehand on Heat.
Bad Blood 1998.
I think it was like Foley. Foley got attacked.
Foley
before.
Got attacked all the time.
Yeah. But there, like, it's set up. Like, it's set up stuff.
It wasn't Bad Blood 1998. It was Fully Loaded 1999.
Yeah.
Taker came out and busted Austin open. Remember, it was the first
match.
And he had
the
cut.
He had the cut, yeah.
And it was just like, they were working on that. And then later on, in Heat, Austin got Undertaker.
Yeah.
So they were both coming out.
With bandages.
Yeah, and that was really cool because it's like, oh, man. I want to buy the show now if you're on the fence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was the final push, like, and you didn't get that with, like, the current format of the pre-show because it was a match that... You'd get one pre-show match that was kind of thrown together the week before and then the rest of it was just...
Talking.
And
like, it's real. Like, it's real.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, this is not...
It's not a UFC pre-show.
Yeah, it's like, what are you going to do? Oh, he's doing this. This is a training regime. No, it's not a real sport. Like, you can't do that. Just make it entertaining. And I think that's something that we started seeing the phase out of Heat. Mm. We started seeing the phase out of that kind of stuff. They would pre-tape it then, like, with SmackDown or with Raw.
And Velocity.
And
yeah.
Velocity.
Yeah.
Velocity was fucking amazing. That was a different thing. Oh, that's a different kettle of fish. That's a show in itself. But
but it was never meant to feel important. Like, it was important to us because, you know... It was the type of style of wrestling that we kind of liked, you know?
Yeah.
The high flying stuff.
But when they... I wanted to say they started transitioning probably after this to the taped format of Heat. You know, where they would do it on a Raw.
Yeah, and it wasn't. It was inconsequential.
Inconsequential. But they should definitely swing back to it. The Hardys versus Lance Storm and the Hurricane.
Yeah.
And this is with Mighty Molly.
Mighty Molly.
So we didn't get Jamal. Was it Rosie who was superhero in training?
Yeah, that was much later.
That was much later. Yeah,
that was Rosie. Yeah, because Jamal was Umaga.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they'd come in as 3 minute warning.
Yeah. Great music.
Oh, I love 3 minute warning. That still has the best reveal ever.
Do you know?
This is your 3 minute warning. Oh, yes, Bischoff. That's Bischoff's defining moment in the WWE,
yeah.
Unless you're my dad, And then it's HLA.
HLA, yeah.
Who he still asks them. Like, which is really funny.
Yeah, and I liked 3 minute warning. I think
they were awful in the ring, but that,
yeah, messy, and there were two guys who were just too similar in build, you know.
Mm.
In a really good tag team, you need to have certain different characteristics.
That's the problem with the Usos.
Yeah, very similar.
They even say it. They're just like, which one's which? Yeah. It's like, lads, that's a little bit racist. Yeah. You know? You yeah. gotta stop with that, you know?
No, and like, it's... Yeah. The whole tag team thing is one of the things that's been lost. Like, why is Lance Storm and the Hurricane?
Oh, well, that made sense because they were... You know,
WCW
the Alliance.
WCW guys. Yeah, but
Lance Storm, yeah, they were WCW guys, but the Hurricane was a WWF character.
But like, would it not make more sense to put Lance Storm and Chris Jericho together and build on their history?
Yeah.
They started out together, they wrestled in ECW, they wrestled together in WCW, you know?
That would have made perfect sense.
Instead,
it only took them 4 years to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
With Lance Storm's last match, which he lost.
That wasn't Lance Storm's last match. He had a few more after.
But it was billed as his last match.
Yeah, but...
Particularly for a WWF
audience. Come on. Nobody ever... The only person who's ever had a last match and has lived up to it is Shawn Michaels.
For the moment.
No, he'll never wrestle again.
Until he finds his smile again, Gar.
He found his smile. You leave Shawn Michaels now. There will not be a bad word said about Shawn Michaels in this house.
Oh, God, no. That's the worst segment of all time.
He lost his smile?
Yeah.
I know, there's worse segments than that. Are you seriously saying that is a worse segment than Katie Vick?
Top five.
No.
Katie Vick isn't fair. That's fair.
There was a sign at one of the shows last week or the week before, and it had it was just Katie Vick still lives.
Oh, God. How did that sign not get taken away?
Did you see the big Ben Wall head?
No.
On Raw? Yeah. It was taken down as well. There was a big, guy near the front who had a big Colt Cabana.
That's cool. Head. I saw that. Yeah, that was cool.
But no, there was a Benoit head as well.
Well,
we're veering way off.
And there's a good reason why. Because the Mac Classic was up next. Test versus Kane.
Test winning.
They gave Test a little bit of a push in this for some reason. He was obviously at the Alliance at this point. So, he beat Kane. Torrey Wilson defeated Stacey Keibler in a lingerie match, which went 3 minutes. It was not a good match.
No, it's probably 2 minutes too long.
Well, no. It's Torrey Wilson and Stacey Keibler in a lingerie match.
Torrey Wilson wasn't that great.
No, I'll give you that. But Stacey Keibler was.
Was.
So it's okay. Yeah. Edge defeated Christian in an excellent ladder match that went 22 minutes. Match of the night, actually.
Yeah.
The Dudleys defeated Big Show and Tajiri in an inconsequential match.
What was the deal with putting Big Show with small guys? Like, at the previous one, he was teamed up with Spike Dudley. Now he's with Tajiri.
They were trying to get him over as, like...
He's the massive beast.
He's the massive muscle beast giant kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they handled it really badly. And he ended up... He was so severely damaged by this point anyway. And he was so big that it didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, He wasn't interesting in any conceivable way, so it didn't affect him.
I don't know.
The best match he had was that WrestleMania, the hardcore match.
Yeah, Raven and Kane. But like, the thing about Big Show is, I mean, we can even talk about Big Show today. Like, he's just one of those guys who he does absolutely nothing for me. Like, he should...
Ever.
But he should be the biggest deal ever. Like,
I agree.
Like, I remember watching an interview with Taker, and it was, like... I think it was during this period, you know, where Taker would be doing interviews because he was the American Badass.
So, he was... Yeah, this is when he did all those WWE home videos and stuff like that.
And... But I think it was, like... It might have been for...
He also did a shoot as well.
Yeah, I actually think it might have been in the shoot that he says it. But anyway, the question is, who is the most talented person on the roster? And who... It was like a double header one. Who's the most talented person on the roster? And who has the most potential to be...
The biggest thing ever.
The best, but, you know. And he said, Big Show. To both. He said, Big Show is so talented, but he's so lazy. He said he's more interested in eating cheeseburgers. Serious. That's what he said. And like, if Taker is saying that, you know, you have the most potential to be the best wrestler, and you're not, you know, something is amiss, you know.
Well, let's look at it realistically, right? In 1999, when Big Show came in,
yeah,
who did he work with?
Well, he was put at the top. He was working with Austin, and he was Vince's lackey, wasn't he?
And then who did he work with before he got injured?
Well, he won the title, didn't he?
No. In the summer, he came in as Vince's lackey.
Yeah.
Then he had that feud with Mankind.
Yeah.
Then he started working with Taker.
Yeah.
Taker got injured then, disappeared for ages, and then he won the title. So Taker did see something in him.
Yeah.
Even from early
well,
on.
Like, yeah, for Taker to put him over.
And also, like, I think he put Taker through the ring as well.
Yeah.
But there was something there, and he has a job for so long, and he's friends with Triple H, so Triple H is something too.
Yeah.
But Big Show, I've never seen it either. I didn't see it in WCW.
Yeah. And like, he won the title in his first match.
Yeah.
Like, how big a rub can you get?
And Hogan killed him.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Threw him off the top of the building. But he came back the next night.
Yeah. So. Ah, wrestling.
Makes all the sense in the world. Yeah. But the thing about this whole Big Show thing, when you see Big Show in person, it's impressive.
Oh, I've met him. I've met him.
He is very, very impressive.
Yeah.
But on television, in the ring,
No, I mean, in fairness to him, he's probably in the best shape that he's been in since he debuted, currently.
Easily, yeah.
Like he's dropped a load of weight.
Well, in 1989, he looked good.
Yeah, but
then it went downhill.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Very, very quickly. But like, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said he's a good friend of Triple H, and that's why he's always kind of...
He's like Triple H's best friend. It's really weird. Like,
he's always kind of in this spot where,
I
like...
I think he was like in his wedding party as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But like...
It's bizarre.
I don't get it. Like, the thing that annoys me about Big Show is that he should be so much better than he actually is. Like, last week on SmackDown, he did a sunset flip to Rusev. Like, wow. A sunset flip on Rusev, who's another big guy, and it looked so impressive. And it's like, man, where's this been the last, you know, 10 years?
I don't know. It's just like, and I would believe Taker, you know, out of anybody.
If Taker says someone has potential, then
it's there.
It's just, I don't know, he just seemed to be lazy. And then, like, the whole ECW run where he was probably twice the size that he is now.
He was the really big show.
He was the big slow.
The big slow.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It was terrible. But during this run, he wasn't that bad, but he wasn't that good.
They were just pairing him up with little guys to make him look...
To make him look big.
Yeah.
Okay, so the continued burial of Booker T was next, but from The Undertaker.
Yeah, so Booker T...
Decimated Booker T.
Yeah, so Booker T, your main WCW guy when all this kicked off.
The only person that... was carried over to be the leader
of WCW.
Of WCW.
Has now lost 3 pay-per-views in a row.
Yeah.
Now, once again...
All clean.
It gets back to this whole thing. And I mean, I have weekly debates on on the message boards that we're affiliated with.
Yeah.
Where people are saying, oh, wins and losses aren't important. It's like, no, I'm from the camp that wins and losses are very, very important. And Booker T has now lost his last 3 pay-per-view matches. Why would I care about Booker T? He was supposed to be the main WCW guy, and now he's lost to... He lost his title, first off, to The Rock, who is such a WWF guy. He's only ever been a WWF guy, WWE guy. He lost in a match the month after where he had the numerical advantage.
He had Shane, who's actually a good hand as well.
Well, he had Shane, though. Like, the whole thing was, is that two, regardless of the capabilities of two, two should always be one.
Do you not remember? Two.
Two is better than one. You know? And, but once again, loses clean to a guy who's already beaten him. And now, okay, outside of, you know, The Rock and Austin, who is the WWF, who is the WWF, WWE standard bearer? It's The Undertaker.
Yep.
And now The Undertaker is beating him clean. Like, Booker T as part of a WCW, you know, as the face, you know, for want of a better term, of a WCW invasion is done.
Finished.
Done.
Absolutely finished. And yeah, if wins and losses don't matter, then why have them? Like, literally, why does Cena win every week? Because if he didn't, the kids would stop supporting him and he'd stop selling merch.
Exactly. Like, do you want to see someone lose a match 500 times?
No. How are you supposed, unless you're Mikey Whipwreck. But that's a different thing altogether.
Yeah, and that was handled in a much different time.
Much different time, much different way, and, you know, it was believable. The point of wrestling is, at its core, it's supposed to be, you know,
the good guy has to win out.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, you know, a fantasy kind of way where you can get behind this guy and see him overcome the odds.
Yeah.
Now, Booker T, that's if you're a good guy. If you're a face, if you're a heel,
yeah,
you want to see the face get beaten up by the heel who's dominant and, you know, wins a lot of matches, then get beaten as the good guys overcome the threat. If the threat's already neutralized by the... If the Undertaker can go out and beat Booker T, then how are these guys still a threat?
Well, if The Rock can beat him in a handicap match,
it's like,
it's done.
It's finished. Like, yeah. Remember, the sum of our group is supposed to be better than its parts.
Yeah, gestalt.
Exactly, yeah. But if all the parts are shit...
Yeah, well then it's just gonna be
it's
shit.
It's just gonna be shit. Yeah. You know, like, okay, The Shield. Let's go back to The Shield. Dean Ambrose can do it. Seth Rollins can do it.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns really could do it.
Yeah.
Three of them together.
Perfect.
Unstoppable.
Yeah.
Right, now if one of those members could be bad and the rest could pick up.
Yeah, and I think that's why Reigns was put with those guys.
Exactly. You know, and that was, you know, that definitely was a key dynamic that they had at the beginning. Reigns wasn't great and then he got better. But
and then, like, you look at it now where I know Reigns is currently injured, but, like, who is the guy who still looks like he's part of the Shield?
Yeah.
Reigns. Who still has the music?
Yeah.
Reigns. Who still has the Shield entrance?
Reigns.
Yeah. And that's because people want to say, okay, he was part of the Shield.
Exactly. And he still needs it,
you know?
But let's just open this up a little bit further. Seth Rollins is bad. Dean Ambrose is bad. Roman Reigns is bad. As bad as he was when he came in, what would happen?
Nobody would care. Nobody would be interested.
They lost every match.
It's done.
They didn't put anybody, they didn't make an impact at all. They fizzled out.
It's done. It's done.
There you go. Wins and losses matter.
Wins and losses are important. Look at the Nexus.
The Nexus, prime example. Prime example. They lost two major matches and then their leader got buried by chairs.
Yeah, and they were done.
Finished.
Like, What we're trying to put across here is that whilst the invasion was a brilliant concept, it was mishandled so poorly in the sense that certain guys needed to go over that didn't go over.
Mm.
And Booker T was one of those guys.
Easily. Like, when it's hard to say, oh, the internet doesn't know better. Which, you know, a lot of times they don't. Because they don't know what they want, particularly nowadays. However, for a fantasy WCW, WWF card, a lot of those fan-made cards are a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, true.
Because they got what they wanted. Here's what .com should have done. Put up a series of matches. They didn't even need a storyline, Gary.
No.
All they needed was a supercard. They could have called it... I know the last WCW show was called Clash of Champions.
Yeah.
They could have called this Clash of Champions.
Yeah.
You know, had it there where they had their champions going against each other and booked it in that way. But they didn't. By this point, you know, we said at SummerSlam it was a WWF card with Canyon and
Lance Storm.
By this point, we have RVD, Stacey Keibler and Tori Wilson, who had already kind of become divas.
Yeah.
And you know, the most WCW heavy part of the card was on Heat.
Yeah, with Canyon and,
Billy Kidman.
Yeah, so Taker defeating Booker T, and then Jericho gets the win over The Rock for the WCW.
Two WWF guys going for the WCW championship. Yeah. And
do you know what really annoyed me about that match?
What?
Like, is everybody knows how big a Jericho fan I am, and this was like his first.
His big win, yeah.
Yeah, no, like he won the WWF title against Triple H on that Raw.
It didn't count.
It didn't count.
Yeah.
I mean, I popped huge for that when that happened. But
that's a good match, actually.
Yeah, that was a really good Raw.
Really good Raw.
But Jericho beat the Rock, and my problem with it was that he used that shit face buster that Grandmaster Sexay used as a finisher.
Yeah,
he used it and he won with that because I don't know. I don't think Rock wanted to submit.
But it was like, it was 24 minutes.
Yeah, but it was just such a bad move.
It's like, how did you win? Well Grandmaster Sexay.
I was speaking to Grandmaster Sexay in the back. And he said I could use his face buster.
At least he didn't go up to the top and try to go with.
I would have preferred that. Like,
oh my God.
Like, why couldn't he be in with the Lion Salt? At least it was a Jericho move. At least, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Although, I think that was in a WWE game as well afterwards. That was.
But didn't he do it onto, like, the title, I think, or something to win?
Yeah, there were shenanigans.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, no, I was delighted that Jericho won, but just in...
And now we have the most confusing match on the card.
Go on.
Steve Austin winning the WWF Championship back from Kurt Angle, who had just won it the month before.
Was Austin not the champion?
Yeah, Austin was champion now. He had beat Kurt Angle. That's what I mean. That's how quickly it was.
Yeah, that these like, titles were they were just hopping around. Turning around.
Like, Kurt Angle won it, lost again.
And then Austin's defending that at the next pay-per-view.
It's like, what is going on here? But yeah, so Kurt Angle's big rub is finished.
Yeah.
Basically, so Austin, Kurt Angle, and RVD, triple threat match. WWF Championship on the line. Pointless.
Yeah, I actually don't remember this match. Like, the match that I remember from this pay-per-view was Jericho and Rock. Because that was the one I was more interested in, seeing Jericho winning.
It was a much better match.
Yeah. Like, when you said that RVD had a title, I was like, when? I couldn't remember.
And he had the Hardcore Championship
with them as well, yeah.
Which, like, was even more bizarre.
I don't know.
Also, it's kind of funny, you know, we talk about the Hardcore title a lot, and they're like, oh, it was so devalued, you know. At this point, you know, main eventers were there.
And Taker dropped in.
Which
we mentioned on the previous show.
You know, it became, you know, so you could actually still do it, you know, if you, like, imagine Cena with the Hardcore title. It would be a joke at the beginning, but then it would give that some severe prestige.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's walking around, you know, makes it spin and falls apart because
it's terrible. Yeah.
It's terrible. Actually, great idea.
Yeah.
Crush up that old belt.
The old spinner belt, yeah.
Man, imagine, like,
bring that back.
That would be awesome. Cool. That'd be really cool. Right. So, we come down to it.
The final stop.
The final stop at the invasion angle. Where it all begins again. So, before we talk about this, Gar, you know, we're coming to the end of this hour.
Yeah.
How disappointed are you by the cards that we've looked at now? Because where it started and where we are now, different worlds.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, like, it started out with so much potential, but then... After the invasion one, it pretty much, you said, it's just a WWF card.
Mm.
And that's genuinely what it was.
It's so weird to think though, isn't it?
Yeah, like, and we keep going back to this point, but, like, just so much potential when it started, you know, that the world was their oyster. They could have done absolutely anything with this. You know, why not break the bank to get even just one premier player in a Sting or a Goldberg, you know,
like, even instead of doing those cards, because as I said, you know, the biggest problem we had about doing this, and that's why I had to watch the shows, because I was really that confused.
Yeah,
they're so similar. Like, imagine if, you know, Unforgiven would have been Unforgiven anyway, given what happened in the
world. Yeah, Kurt was going over
no matter what happened.
Yeah.
But No Mercy, right? Why wasn't No Mercy a WCW pay-per-view or an ECW supercard?
Yeah, you yeah. know, I mean, that would have been a good idea.
Could have been half-half.
Yeah, and because, I mean, that's inevitably what the format became, where it was Raw would have a pay-per-view and then SmackDown would have a pay-per-view. Whereas at least, like, they had so much talent.
It was literally... No, but, like, when that happened, it was the same show, just SmackDown was shit.
Yeah, you know?
And nobody watched it. Like, but at this point, they had such a different feel, different talent, that it actually could have been a different show.
But like, instead of doing, like, say, you know, Jericho against The Rock for, which was the WCW title at the time, and then immediately following it with the triple threat match for the WWF title, like, why not split that into, as you say, give WCW and ECW a pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Let Heyman book the ECW side of it, you know?
And that could be headlined with your WCW title. So yeah. Like, you could have your hardcore match, you could have, you know, some ECW-influenced matches, you could have some WCW-influenced matches.
The cruiserweights, you know?
So much could have been done.
Play to the strengths.
But even with the roster that they had, without the big guys, you still had enough to book a card there that could have worked.
With legitimate guys like Booker T and DDP and, you know,
And Canyon. And, you know, RVD was there. He was already over.
He was already super over.
But they were using him as a WWF guy at this point, which is what I'm saying. Like, it just became a WWF show.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's the huge problem. Like, as I've said before, like, I didn't watch a lot of WCW.
Yes.
I watched a fair bit of ECW, but nowhere near as much as WWF.
Mm.
And WWF always had a certain style, a certain feel when you were watching the product. You knew straight away, yes, this is WWF. And I'm sure that was the same for WCW.
Yeah,
when you were watching WCW, there was a certain feel.
You can always tell.
Yeah, and you knew straight away. And I mean, ECW, you knew straight away it was ECW.
Yeah, super low budget.
Yeah, yeah. But that was the aesthetic point.
Yeah.
Because it was counterculture and it was gritty, you know, and everybody got that. But when you try to meld these two things together, and it's a WWF production, It's always just going to be a WWF production.
It's just going to be a bad WWF production.
Yeah, whereas it doesn't work. Like, what you were saying is correct, that they should have done a WCW pay-per-view and hire those guys, those production guys, even getting someone in like Bischoff, who knew the creative aesthetic, that he would be able to say, this is what WCW feels like. Mm. Like, in what they did with One Night Stand for ECW.
Exactly. And that should have been done in 2001.
And why was that so good? Because they gave it to Heyman and they said, okay, this is your vision. Go out and do it.
Mm.
And he did. And it was perfect.
And here's the resources you need to do it. Yeah.
Because it felt like an ECW show.
And that's what's ironic about, you know, speaking of the ECW kind of thing. When that was done, everybody's like, oh, Vince, you know, he ruined it. It's like, no, he gave you the most authentic ECW pay-per-view since it closed.
Yeah.
Actually, probably a better card than when it closed, because they could afford to bring in talent which hadn't been there for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the Dudleys were on that show. The Dudleys weren't in ECW for years.
Yeah, Sandman. Dreamer. Was a great match at the top of the card, you know.
And then compare that back to what TNA would do a couple of years later on.
Yeah, which was the Pits.
The Pits, you know.
They did have Tracy Smothers, though.
They did, but Tracy Smothers was also on the One Night Stand show.
He was, but yeah, outside.
Yeah, with,
it's Tony Mamaluke, wasn't it, and Guido.
Oh, like, it's so disappointing, really, to think about what they could have done, and they just didn't. Which is a good way to set up Survivor Series, which I think, you know, we identified when the wheels fell off, and now we're
We've identified numerous points where we thought people could have said, "Nah, I'm done."
Done, and I think this pay-per-view, and we will leave it here and then take a break. This pay-per-view does a lot of things.
Yeah.
It marks the point where wrestling, one, it's the end of the Attitude Era, full on. This is when the Attitude Era died. And Vengeance is when they set up properly going into what was the Ruthless
Aggression stuff, yeah.
It also marks the death of ECW, death of WCW.
Yeah.
Like, full on, like, we are going to make sure this never comes back.
Yeah.
And it hasn't. It's like, ECW recovered.
ECW recovered because it was a cult. It was a cult to begin with.
Yeah, but it recovered because WWE let it recover. They shot it in the arm and it came back.
Yeah.
WCW has never and will never recover.
Yeah, because that was the competitor. ECW was never a competitor, you know?
It's the WWE being too carny for its own good.
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I think, you know, history will always be written by the winners.
But it's so hard to, like... Actually, you know what it is? It's like, okay, these are real nerdy classical thing. The Carthaginians were beaten by the Romans. And the you know, they were like their big competitors.
Whenever anybody brings up the Carthaginians, all I ever think of is the quote from The Simpsons. It's one of the early episodes, and it's the guy without the arm. What's his name?
Oh, Ned. No, not Ned.
Not Ned. What's his name? Herman.
Herman.
Herman. And Herman says, the key to Main Street in Springfield, or no, the key to Springfield was always Main Street. The Romans knew it, the Carthaginians knew it, and now you know it.
But no, it's true. Like, basically, for anybody who doesn't know, the Carthaginians were like the big competitors to Rome in the early days. And they could have destroyed... It's exactly like the Monday Night Wars. They could have destroyed Rome if they wanted to, but, you know, they didn't.
Yeah.
And eventually... the Romans got the upper hand and destroyed them over two things called the Punic Wars, right? Yeah. They literally burned that to the ground and salted the earth. Now, that's what WWF did. They salted WCW's earth.
On one of the Carthaginian shows, did they say that one of the Romans was going to win the title?
And, and he walked out?
And everybody walked out.
And everybody walked out. I think so. You know, it's like they're different generals. They came out and booked themselves to win the title. And then he brought in celebrities at the time. It's pretty funny.
David Arquette.
The David Arquette of the Roman ancient world. But no, like, that's what it's kind of like. You know, a lot of people probably like, who the Carthaginians? There you go. You haven't heard of them, but you heard of Rome.
They knew the key to Main Street in Springfield.
They did. They did. And I think that's what happened now. You know, it's just history.
It wasn't Main Street. I think it was Elm Street. I'm very particular in getting my Simpsons quotes right.
I'm going to find it and I'm going to clip it into the show.
Please do.
Let's see. Okay. The key to Springfield has always been Elm Street. The Greeks knew it. The Carthaginians knew it. Now you know it.
There's another great quote in that where they have water balloons. And Bart says to him, he says, is it a problem that they say happy birthday?
I'd rather if you said death from above.
Yeah. If you can get that clip as well.
I'll put that in as well.
When he leaves the Quickie Mart, we start the saturation bombing. We got the water balloons.
200 rounds, sir. Is it okay if they say happy birthday on the side?
Well, I'd rather they say death from above, but I guess we're stuck.
But yeah, like, I think that's one of the things about this pay-per-view. So keep that in mind over the break while we go into it. This show marks the death of those two promotions, one which will never recover from this night.
Yeah, just think of Vince with a load of water balloons that say happy birthday and not death from above.
And on that note, we'll see you after this short break here on the Rest of You International.
Just think about it. Just think about it.